My name's Cindy Masters. I'm an alcoholic. Because of the grace of God, some simple actions in this program, and both sides of sponsorship, I've been sober every single day in a row since December the 17th, 1985, and for that I'm extraordinarily grateful. Those applause are for God, because trust me, I'm not capable. And I don't know why I want to say this, but I want to say this. I'm not special. And probably from folks I sponsor, my sponsors, Snow Pea, and get spread down, and I bet you that there's not a woman in this room that's not somehow connected in this big family. Because, and what my sponsor says is, we all hold hands so we don't fall down. And what I say all the time is that this is shoulder to shoulder. The women that I sponsor and the women I take through the steps, we do it shoulder to shoulder, and I learn every bit as much from them as I ever give to them. And you can't share your experience with any step, at least my experience is, I can't share my experience with any step with another woman and not learn something about myself and the application of that step to me at the same time. So I want to be really clear, I'm not a teacher. I'm here to share. Is there anybody here that has not worked a four-step yet, that has not done a written four-step? I got like, okay, yeah, don't be ashamed. There's no shame in not having done it, right? Okay, so we'll go through some basics. If we don't hit on how to actually do it, first of all, I recommend see your sponsor very highly. And if you don't have one, come to me and I'll help you get one that will show you exactly how this is done. But I'm going to share my experience with the four steps. So I came to you broken. I was broken. I was shattered. I was not a real human being. I lived like an animal. I came off the streets. I didn't have skills. I didn't have anything. I didn't have social skills. I had nothing, and except for rage. And so my first four step, I got sober in Cincinnati, and our clubhouse is the oldest one in the country, and it's called Oak Street. And back when I got sober, the first time was 1980. So for those of you that have relapsed, the forward to the second edition addresses this directly. Some of us do. 50% to be exact, according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's not shame in that. It says of those that really try. Because see, I'm sober by grace. And there have been days I haven't done it perfect. Right? This is a really flawless solution if I can apply it flawlessly every day, but I can't. And so I'm sober by a lot of grace in this relationship with God that you heard about last night, which I think really begins in that decision, and now we're taking off with how do we develop that relationship. And the first thing I got to do is clear away what's in the way. But back then, we did four classes. You're supposed to do them before you went to meetings, which made you want to go to meetings and sneak in. You know what I mean? Because because I don't know about you, but I like to break the rules, right? And so if you had to do these four classes before you could go to meetings, you might as well go to one before you do one. And that's but meeting makers don't make it, as we all know. Amen. Meeting makers, I make a lot of meetings. But that's not why I'm sober. And that's not why I've had a transformation. I've had a transformation because of these steps, because of what you heard last night. I had a surrender to my innermost self that I am alcoholic, which for me meant that I can never drink successfully again. That's what that surrender was for me, that every time I drink, no matter what, no matter how different my life outside gets, I'm going to have the same result. You know, and then I believed in AA, and I believe you heard about that last night. I believed in AA. I didn't believe in God in the sky. I had too many reasons and too much evidence to know that there was no such thing as a loving God. So making a decision in step three was risky as heck, right? Luckily, we get to choose and pick what that higher power needs to be. And for me, it has evolved and evolved and evolved. And the truth is, all of our stories, no matter what step we're talking about, are nothing. nothing but developing a relationship with God. And it's, how do I move this stuff out of the way? So in the beginning, my fourth step was very simple. And I believe that in the beginning, that's good. I think you just have to do it. And mine was limited. And it was as honest as I was capable of being at the time. That's what it requires for me to stay sober. Do I have the capacity to be honest? Not your honest, my honest. Okay, because my capacity to be honest was very limited. I did not have any insight into myself. I saw the world through tormented eyes, is the best way I can say. And I was suspicious of everybody. And I really thought nobody was my friend. You know, I'd been in the system since I was about 12 years old, and I didn't establish trust. I got scared to go out to eat with you guys, you know, if you went someplace nicer than White Castle's. Places that you were supposed to know what fork to use. So my first four step purged. It just purged. The fourth column was easy for me. I'm a piece of crap and the whole world knows it. I've been in the papers. Now, that's not true for all of the women I sponsor. This is my experience. Some of the women I sponsor, the fourth column is hard for them to see. And it's really hard to see when you still see yourself as a victim. But I wasn't seeing the fourth column as it's outlined in the big book. Because the fourth column in the big book is not outlined to show us that we're a piece of crap. The fourth column in the big book is outlined to show us where we have power. Because when I can see my responsibility, and that's what it says, where are we responsible? Where were we at fault? Now, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And until I can see that, I will repeat it. The other thing, you know how sometimes in AA you'll hear, and I think Sandy Beach is the first person I heard say it, but you know, you'll hear, you need to control your emotions or your emotions will control you. All right, well, some of us it takes 25 years to begin to get there, okay? So, let me just be clear. This is not, she came to AA, worked the steps really hard, did her very best, and it was wall-to-wall peaches and cream for the rest of her life. Not my story. I've been sober a long time, longer than anybody I knew was sober when I got sober. There was a guy named Bill that went to Oak Street that had 25 years. It was the oldest sobriety person I knew when I got sober. And so I'm like 37 and a half every day in a row. Holy moly, I have a lot of life that I've had to try to put these steps on. You know, I've had a lot of turns in the road, you know. That's just my truth. And I'm not a believer that you do the fourth step once and tenth step maintains it for the rest of your life. I'm a believer that that's an ideal. That's an ideal. And if I were a perfect person and I did a perfect four step to start with and I did perfect six and seven and I did perfect amends, then 10 would maintain me for the rest of my life. Oh, and if I never reacted and I you know what I mean? And I always paused when I reacted and immediately looked at where I was at fault and I didn't sink anything down and I was always nice. You know, okay, so you get the drift, right? So I'm mostly, and so for those of you that haven't done a four step before, I'm happy to share my experience with the actual details of it. But we go through, the first two columns are a blast. Get started right away. You won't believe what Susie did. They're a lot of fun. The third column is where I've experienced the most angst, not the fourth column. Because I knew how to be wrong. I was wrong. I was broken, remember? And that was my perception of myself. It's an old idea that I've had to discard through doing four steps. But the third column is about you had the power to affect me. and owning that and admitting that was a vulnerability that in the places I lived, you couldn't afford to have. You know, so how do I own that you affected my whole security? You know, that this situation induced fear in me, that I then began to run on layers of my life. You know, where was I selfish? Now, it took me a long time to understand the fourth column. I didn't really understand selfishness. I didn't understand self-centeredness. I didn't see it in myself. Because what I saw was rotten, bad human being. Yes, I was wrong. But why was I wrong? Because this is about getting the causes and conditions. This is not about letting go of the branch that the world sees. This is about getting down to the root, the cause, the condition. What's really under that? What is this self-centeredness that we talk about so loosely in Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, people just spin that word around. And we all just say we are, because everybody else says they are. But what's it mean? You know, because it's about my feelings, thoughts, and beliefs are what I think you should revolve around. And it's what my life revolves around. Right? How I feel is the most important thing on the planet. Anybody else feel that way? So how I feel is so important. That's self-centeredness. And selfishness is, I got to get mine. Whether you get yours or not. I didn't understand any of that. And I'm going to tell you, it took me at least a decade in recovery to begin to understand what this meant. And guess what? That's okay. See, you can't be somewhere that you're not. And what the book says is if we really try. And what I did was really try. But that's why I've had to go back to it, because this has happened in layers. This has been an exploration in layers. You know, we go on and do a fear inventory, which is much longer today for me than the resentment inventory. Because back then, I couldn't own fear. The places I was at, if you let yourself feel it, people could feel you feel it, and you could wind up dead. So it took me a long time to even be able to say the words, I'm afraid, or to own it to myself. That's, some women come in, and you very much identify that, but you're not angry. Not you, you're a lady. You resent nobody. I can't find a resentment. I can't find it. I got news for you. Yours is as bad as mine. Both are... See, because what the big book says is we have to have the capacity to be honest, right? And so that's what through the years I'm unlayering is what is honest. And what honest was when I got here is very different than it was at 10 years sober, very different at 20, very different at 30, very different now. I'm a more capable, whole woman. You gave me that. Doing this gave me that. Game ain't over, though. I'd like to tell you that it was. Here's what I want to share, though, as I talk about all these layers and all the unfolding and all the things that I've had to look at with myself. I have been reasonably happy the entire time. I truly have. Since I made my first honest attempt at the steps, soup to nuts, I've been reasonably happy. I had one time when I was 11 years sober that I almost killed myself. That's not reasonably happy. It was a walk in the dark. And when I inventoried it later, after I had a highway motorcycle accident and got drove over by a car and lost everything I owned sober, when I inventoried it, that was self-centeredness. That was selfishness for me. Because I was unwilling to unpack it and look at the pain underneath it and take get to this and share it with another woman and truly trust. And to me, the step that Rachel talked about last night is about trust. Am I willing to move from watching the clown in the wheelbarrow cross the wire? Am I willing to move from watching to getting in the wheelbarrow? And the fourth step is evidence that I'm in the wheelbarrow. But because these layers, and we're going to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. I know, I wish it was wool. No, but and that's been an unpacking of layers. And so I guess because if you are new here, you're so lucky to be here, because it took me a long time to be willing to come to these kind of things. But we're packed with a lot of women that are here that are 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years sober. And so I'm going to share about the whole thing, you know, the whole thing. But with sex, you know, in the fifth step in the big book, it's the first place we begin to kind of look at forgiveness, right? It's like we've realized that by forgiving others, we can forgive ourselves. And for me, between the third and the fourth column in the fourth step, I believe that thing it says to say to look at these people from a very different angle is our first step towards forgiveness. Are we willing to see them as sick? Are we willing to begin to let them off the hook? You know, because when we take the hook out of them, we really take it out of our mouth. But forgiveness takes place all the way till you get to 9. But it's the beginning. It's the beginning of I'm willing to forgive you. I love talking about forgiveness, but that's not my task today. Because I thought I was forgivable. I didn't think other people were. I'll tell you a quick story about the sex stuff. Like many of the women I've sponsored through the years, when we talk about sex, a lot of times it shows up. Many of us have been abused as children. I've had all the abuses. You know, I've been sexually abused. I've been raped on the streets. I lived on the streets. I've been raped by guards in jail. I've had all the things. And when I got down to it, two things, I'm not at fault for those things at all. But they hit my fourth step. So what hits in my fourth column? Then it hits my sex inventory. It does, because it was a sexual act. In my fourth column, what's my responsibility? What's my fault? Not what happened then. My responsibility is I'm blaming that for who I am now. My responsibility is that I'm not doing the work I need to do to become whole. And I'm blaming an act that happened when I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on up. For being less than whole. And so my responsibility, and the only way to get there, this sucks, guys. At least it did for me in the beginning, is to learn how to forgive some of that. And so that happens. It took me 17 years to do my final forgiveness from folks on my first four step. So when we look at that, I'm not suggesting that you write this stuff down and you reach forgiveness tomorrow. That was not my story. I'm suggesting we become open to it. One of the first things that helped me, I rode in a motorcycle club sober. I was one of the few women in it. It was the fifth chapter. And there was a guy, and I got really close to him. And then I found out that he didn't see his kids because he had molested molested him. And he said, I can't be around my kids. And he didn't go around them. He had a lot of money, and he, at that time, it wasn't like it is now. You didn't have the scarlet letter and stuff. And I loved him. And I knew how much he hated himself. And I knew how much he didn't want to do that, so much so that he was willing to separate himself from his children. And God put a way for me to see it a little different. And I didn't reach a place of forgiveness just by knowing him. But it began my journey to see that other people are really sick in ways that really have harmed me. And sometimes in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, in the 12 and 12, it talks about men that get drunk and stumble into their daughter's bedroom in a drunken blackout, which means that they used to talk about that. And so when I'm talking to a group of men about this step, I tell them I forgive them and that they need to tell somebody, because we've created so much shame about it. And I think it's dead wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think it's very wrong. And I think it's very damaging. But we make so much shame. How can they get sober? And I don't mean to be, you know what I mean, and I'm not, but, and how do I get sober if I still hate people? How do I get sober if I can't see forgiving the forgivable is easy. Forgiving the unforgivable is where the challenge is, but it's where we become free. But I've got to see my responsibility. And why do I want to forgive somebody that molested me when I was 9 years old? Why do I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? Am I telling him or you that his behavior was okay? No, I am not. No, I am not. I'm saying his behavior is wrong. But I'm saying that I don't want to be trapped by his behavior the rest of my life. I don't want to live it out and have inadequate, not just sexual, but emotional relationships with other people. I don't want to live the rest of my life guarded and afraid because of trauma. You know, and that's the same. I had lots and lots of trauma. Lots. All the kinds. And unlayering that has been my lifetime. In the sex inventory, I try to put that on all my relationships, not just sexual relationships. Because how many of us struggle with friendships? Who's great at friendships in this room? It's flipping hard, isn't it? Right? So I take that sex inventory and I apply that to it. Right? Because I don't know how to do intimacy. I'm guarded and I'm protected. I had social lubricant my whole life. So how do I, and I wasn't exampled to me, so how do I do intimacy? And real friendships are intimate. The women I sponsor and I have intimacy. We see into each other. We share authentically. We share honestly. And we can confront gently and lovingly, frequently and often. Gently and lovingly being the key. They with me. I've gotten tidbits this weekend from them. One of them might have got a tidbit from me. I don't know. But it's a good place when I'm uncomfortable. So let's talk about the journey of continuing to look. I'm doing a step study right now, and I did something I've never done. There is nobody new in it. Most of the women have 20, 30, 40 years of sobriety. I think we have one woman that has like 13 or 14, and everybody else is 20 plus. And why am I doing that? Why did I choose to do that? Because I thought, I don't want to be exclusive, and I'm not. But we have this thing in AA that, and we need the newcomers, our lifeblood, and being there for them, but they really need one-on-one. You as a newcomer need to go through the steps one-on-one with your sponsor, not in a group. This thing is one drunk talking to another. But now we're a group of women, and some of us, I'm not going to speak for everybody, are challenged with day-to-day friendships. Our lives have become service, and some of us have gotten irritable, restless, and discontent. Some of us aren't always being nice to the barista at Starbucks. Some of us are getting a little short with folks. So how do we unlayer? See, this is what I mean by this layering. And right now we're at the four-step part, and I kid you not, all but like one or two of the women in this group have called me and said, I don't have resentments. Because, see, at 44 years sober, you're not supposed to, right? Right? And so even we get trapped in that AA persona. That AA persona that says, I'm sober 37 years, and of course I don't have resentments, and I'm not walking around angry, and I'm never lonely. I just go work with the newcomer. Well, I go home and think about a gun in my mouth and how empty life is. I'm being a little extreme, but I have a flair for drama. But so when I get that, I got to go back and do the steps for me. I got to get raw, and I'm not talking about lightweight. And I got resentment starters if you think you don't have any. And if I sponsor you, I can tell you what they are. If you've been, because we're human. And one of the things that long-term recovery gives us is a whole library of feelings. We don't get to just have the good ones, guys. It's a lie. It's a lie. And it's a lie that we encourage each other to tell. We encourage each other to not be authentic. We don't mean to, but we do. And then, I don't know, you ever judge somebody that wasn't quite acting 20 years sober? I have. Or how in the hell could they be 30 years sober and still think or act like that? But who's being judgmental? Where's love and tolerance? Right? The 10-step code that you'll hear about talks about love and tolerance. Do I have my watch at least? I have something. I don't want to go over. It's important to me. But so when that becomes a part of me, when I begin to gossip a little bit, it's time to put pen to paper again. But really, it's time to go back to one. Because maybe I've forgotten how alcoholic I am. And do I believe that this too can be removed? You know, do I believe that? And I'm willing to trust God. Because you ever watch those people when you feel like you're missing a little slice? You ever watch groups of people and you think, I wish I had friends like that? Right? So my experience is I got to go back and really unlayer. And I'm not talking about a mini. I'm talking about don't edit. I'm talking about anything that when you're writing, you get a little feeling that vibrates? Because here's what I want to do. I want to look good to my sponsor. I'm 37 years sober, and I want my sponsor to like me. I really do. I want to be the winner. I want an A. I didn't go to high school, but I want an A somewhere. I got to let that ego go. All of that trying to live up to something that's not authentic, I cannot afford to do. I cannot afford to do. And so I come back in and I go back through my life, because here's what happens. When I was newly sober, and Beth will remember this, when I was 17 years sober, I finally forgave my dad. And the reason is I got kicked through doors when I was a kid and my back got broke. And then I had a highway motorcycle accident that exacerbated that break, and I had to have surgery on my back, but also my spinal canal, and it was a big deal. And there was, and I got angry, and I got angry at him again. I thought I had forgiven. I thought it was long ago done. And now the slideshow's back. And for those of you that have had trauma, you know what I'm talking about—the slideshow of every trauma, because one trauma triggers all the others. Because when I was new in recovery, I forgave him to the best of my ability, and I did the best I could with the steps. But it wasn't good enough for who I had become. See, because I had grown along spiritual lines, and I had become better and more. And I was more capable. And I believe if I don't do what I'm capable of today, I set myself up to potentially drink or blow my brains apart or just be a miserable human being, an unkind human being, not my best self. Because the beautiful thing for Alcoholics Anonymous, for me, I'm better than I ever dreamed I could be. I am a good person. I probably was a decent person when I was 20 years sober, but I would have never said those words about myself because it hadn't internalized. But I really am. I'm a good human being. I care deeply about the people around me, the world around me. I care how I affect the barista at Starbucks. I care about that. I care about the lady at Kroger's, you know. I even care about my employees now. I always cared about them, but I expected an awful lot and was a little reactive at work. And if you've heard me talk about this before, a lot of it was that. Well, I'm happy to report that old Cindy doesn't react at work. Because I was very reactive. Why? I felt like an imposter. I have this global company that I have no business running. I have zero education, not even high school. I'm running it because I was on committees and you taught me about the traditions and the concepts, right? And I'm doing my best to apply it. And we're pretty successful. But I think what I was example growing up was you control people. And that's how you get them to do what you need. And so now I'm trying to control people. Now, I'm not talking about being 10 years sober. I'm talking about being 20 years sober, 25 years sober, okay? And I did a lot of work for quite a while, not 1 year. And I would call my sponsor and I would cry. And I would say, I reacted again today. And that's where you're going to hear about the 10th step, right? I would say, I reacted again today. And what I was told is, maybe that's how you know you need God and you can't do it, right? Which Deb's going to talk all about 6 and 7. You're in for a treat. And it's like, but it's like, I need God. I need God in this. But I also, God can't fix what I haven't given to him. Okay, so if I've only handed the branch and I haven't discovered the root by really doing this work that I couldn't see when I was 10 years sober, 15 years sober, 20 years sober, I'm doomed to stay stuck, unhappy. So the step study, we're on 4 and 5 right now, we're on 4. And I'm having to take a deeper look again. It's time. It's been a big year. And I'm the caregiver for that man that broke my back. I'm responsible for his and my mom's care, and he had cancer this year, and I'm taking him to chemo, and I bought a house. My second home is in Cincinnati, not Florida. And which I'm so proud of, because I've become a person that I didn't think I was capable of, and I do this because I want to. I don't feel obligated. I'm glad I get to do it, and I'm glad I get to see a different version of him. He is old, and he is broken. And when, I think somebody talked about it last night, but when I could see my parents as human beings, instead of seeing them as parents, everything changed. And it began with early on looking at what were their childhoods like, but it got bigger than that. I became whole enough that I could see them as people, and I need nothing from them. And until I needed nothing from them, because I was so wounded, I wanted them to fix the holes that they had created. But only God and me can do that. And so when I went and did the work anyway, and those holes began to get filled, right? I don't need anything from them. I am more their parent, you know, and that is because I see them. I have forgiven you when you have done fist steps with me for things that are every bit what my parents did to me. When you have told me, I have just held you and loved you and told you God loves you. But what I found in my fourth column is I was unwilling to apply this in my daily life. Because that's my daily life. You're my AA life. Some of you are in my daily life. So how do I put this on my whole life? Your first four steps about purging, getting a start, having hope, moving forward. But how do I have... I am still, like, I do a lot. I do a lot. But that's a form of service that's mission critical. And it's a far better example of who I am than what I tell you standing here. And it's a far better example than even what I do with my girls that I sponsor. And I do, I dedicate, I have three businesses. But I still do AA stuff every single night. You know, I still am committed to you and my parents. It's a lot. It's a lot. But what I find is when I'm in God's lane, there's enough. But I have forgiven my dad, and I are groovy. I went through forgiveness with my mom. I'm just telling you where I am, and this is what I'm writing about right now. That lady has gotten her self-centeredness is through the power of 100. I have catered to her for the last 10 years to try to help her heal. I think she's an alcoholic. I'm just around her enough to see it now, right? Because I wasn't, you know, it's easy to be a pop-in hero daughter, right? Once every month or two. On a daily basis, it's hard to maintain that role. And so I'm having to write. And I'm looking deeper. I'm looking deeper. And I'm not looking deeper for anything other than I want truth. I want truth. Because if I see the truth, I can give it to God, and then God can tell me where I'm supposed to be. If I don't see the truth, I can't give it to God. And that's what this fourth and fifth step are about. So my fifth step, our fifth steps, the ones I listen to and the ones that I give, right? I'm an active listener in a fifth step. I do not understand people that fall asleep in a fifth step. If you're... I'm Any unsolicited advice or opinions tend to be judgments. Learned that from my buddy Don. But I'm with you. And sometimes we take days. I had so much on my four steps. I had so much healing to do. And I didn't get shortchanged. Now, I think there are times where you don't need to do all that. There are times you just need a freshen up like the classes. But I think there are times we have to go back and take a deep dive so we can find the real root. And the only way I can find the real root, if I see why am I so bothered by this today, and I look through the pattern of my life, and the fourth step says we go back through our life, so we start here. And then when I tell my sponsor, or my girls tell me, we begin to see the patterns unfold. And we begin to get all the way back to where the root is. And we begin to look at that. And that's what a fifth step does. I give my girls another angle of approach when they're looking at it sometimes. And my sponsor gives me another angle of approach to see. Because I can't do it by myself. I like the deep dive. You've probably figured that out. I have deep wounds. They're mostly healed. But they could not be healed without repeated deep dives. They couldn't. Today, I'm usefully whole. I'm a whole human being. I came to you so shattered, but I'm whole. I didn't start saying that until about 3 years ago. Because I wasn't. I was on a trip to get there. And that doesn't mean, usually whole doesn't mean I'm perfect. But it means that I have looked at every single thing. There is nothing inside of me that hasn't been looked at. Now that does not mean that something's not going to come up. And I'm going to have to revisit the whole package. When my brother was murdered, and my dad was an idiot, because he doesn't have a way to deal with feelings. And it re-triggered all that crap again. You know, he went around saying, I never had any respect for him anyway. And I thought, he told my mom she could cry for 2 weeks only. So I wasn't just mad about then. What happened was, it unveiled all the things. Does that make sense? And so I can't just look at today and heal that and get to the root. And there are roots that I don't know about. And that's my story. And I thank you for listening. And thanks for having me, Lee.